Friend, please help Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry by supporting the cost to produce Spirit-Filled Radio and Podcast for this current fiscal year. You can become a partner with Spirit-Filled Hearts by donating monthly. Your contributions make a difference in the lives of all those who listen to our radio shows and podcasts. Thank you for your support. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click on the donate button. That's spiritfilledhearts.org.
Welcome to Recovering God's Miracles on Spirit-Filled Radio. On this show, we talk about breaking the chains of addictive behaviors and receiving the healing power of Jesus in restoring you to an abundant life. Get ready for some inspiring testimonies of those who have found themselves in some very dark places, but then to a point of recovery through Christ.
Good morning. Welcome to Recovering God's Miracles of Spirit-Filled Hearts Radio Media. My name is Andrew O'Keefe, and I'm an addict, and I'm the host of this program. So what gives me the right to host a program about addiction? Well, if Jeff Foxworthy were asking me, he'd say something like, Andrew, you might be an addict if one is too many and 1,000 aren't enough. And I'd say, you know what, Jeff? You're right. I am pretty sure that I'm an addict because I can't stop and I love everything. Another well-known and respected authority, Father Richard Rohr, in his book, Breathing Underwater, states, we are all addicted in some way. When we learn to identify our addictions, embrace our brokenness, and surrender to God, we learn to breathe the healing into ourselves and into our world. All have been touched by addiction. I do not know one person who doesn't have major addiction issues and addiction problems that they've expressed to me. And unfortunately, it's one of Satan's greatest tools. But here on Recovering God's Miracles, we're going to give you folks, our listeners, the tools. We're going to help you understand that there is hope. Help is on the way. So we're here to show you how to do that. We're going to talk about how to deal with your own personal addictions, and then just recommendations, not orders, but also what might help you and your loved ones that are suffering from addiction. I have a personal favorite philosopher named Deacon Steve Greco, who opened up our show with our inaugural session, and he links addiction to the miracles that come hand in hand with forgiveness, especially forgiveness of ourselves. The Catholic definition of miracles is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. There is a close relationship between forgiveness, healing, and miracles. Miracles through forgiveness by Brother Deacon Steve Greco. So I'm going to, I mentioned that we're going to have guests who are going to share their horror stories, and they're going to share their miracle stories of us in recovery. Because I don't remember a lot of miracles that happened to me when I was in my addictions, any of them. But I do remember a lot of catastrophes. I remember a lot of police cars, a lot of handcuffs, and a lot of fines, and a lot of broken noses and tickets, which is not much of a miracle. However, a miracle started for me in November of 1982 when God said to me, Andrew, you're done. Stop. And I did. And by the grace of God, I've had a wonderful life since then. And I've had one miracle after another. So our guests are going to do both. They're going to share their horror stories and miracles through Scripture, through the tools that have worked best for them, and examples of how they've recovered. So I have on the line, our guest today is one of my closest friends who's got some amazing news she's going to share with us. Her name is Lisa, and she lives in my hometown of Phoenix. And she has been down the road. She's lived in addiction, and she's lived out of addiction. And there were two really special guys in her life that I was going to ask her to talk about. But now there's a third because Lisa recently got engaged. So God bless you, Lisa. We're so proud of you and so happy for you. I haven't met Brian, but I hear nothing but good things about him. And we totally wish you the best, and you know totally I'll be there. So Lisa, talk to us a little bit about some of the miracles that have come in your life from when you were in addiction, a couple of guys you hung out with pretty much, and then what happened when you put one of them away, put the cork in one of them, and then lived with that other one into this incredible life that you've enjoyed that you've told me about many times. Lisa, again, thank you for joining us and congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Andrew. It's an honor to be here and happy to share my experience, strength and hope, my story of addiction and recovery, mostly the story of the miracle of God stepping into my life in a way that was truly unmistakable. So I'm honored to be here and glad to share my story.
Good.
My story
Thank
begins
you.
When I was pretty young and living actually in Puerto Rico as a child, and all of us teenagers would go out to the beaches of Puerto Rico and spread out the great big backdrop curtains from the show productions that we would put on at school, and we'd build bonfires, and we would drink Lancers and Matus, and beer.
Right,
maybe. You know, I don't even know if they make that anymore.
Right, no, they don't. Either one. Killed too many partiers.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's how I got my start drinking. And then as I got a little bit older, still a teenager, but a little bit older, I made the switch to this brown liquid, affectionately known as my best friend. It grew into becoming my best friend. Good old Jack Daniels was my best friend. And I say that jokingly today, but I said that quite seriously in years past. And I think the first and biggest miracle of all is that I found my way into a recovery program. And that is truly and completely by a power greater than myself. How I got there is beyond my capacity to understand. For years and years, I would wake up every morning and say, I'm drinking too much. I need to stop. I remember going into social situations and watching other people drink to determine when it might be appropriate for me to order my second or my third or what have you.
Right.
And then controlling my drinking and not being able to wait to get home because I wanted to be able to really drink. Starting my evenings with drinks at home before I went out so I could shore up my sense of self to be able to manage in social situations. But, you know, Andrew, my story is not the stereotypical or the typical one that many people think about when they have an image in their minds of what an alcoholic might look like. I did not lose my home. I did not have encounters, as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, with police and handcuffs and broken noses. That's not my story. My story was one where I managed to maintain a semblance of ability to continue to work. I did not lose my home, my family, my children, my job. I wasn't in car accidents. But what I lost was myself.
Right.
And
exactly.
I lost a relationship with a higher power,
mm-hmm.
with a God of my understanding. The other guy that you mentioned in your introduction of me was my husband. His name is Gus. And we were married for 40 years before he died. And I am grateful to God that I was able to find my way into a recovery program. That is the first of many miracles that allowed me to then be able to provide my husband with the amends that he deserved before his life came to an end. And for that, I am truly grateful. I know that not a lot of people with addiction don't get into recovery. I don't know what the statistics are. I've heard many. I don't know if they're accurate or not, so I won't quote them. But I know it's a very small percentage of us, and so I am very fortunate and blessed. Because when I came into the program, I was completely spiritually bereft. My husband was a pastor, as you well know, and I was a pastor's wife, and I had no ability to experience the presence of God in my life at that point. I woke up in the morning thinking about how much too much I had had to drink the night before, and then immediately turned to, when can I have my first drink? And wondering if I went out to lunch, would anybody really notice if I came back to work with booze on my breath?
Right.
And no matter what happened in the course of a day, the solution was always Jack Daniels. Because again, Jack Daniels was my best friend. And I don't say that lightly. I meant it. I turned to Jack Daniels in times of joy, in times of sorrow, And I'm the kind of alcoholic that drank to avoid my feelings, to suppress my emotions. And Jack was real good at that for many, many, many years. And I'm older. I'm not a spring kid. I didn't get into sobriety until my late 50s. So the last several years of being a sober woman have brought miracle upon miracle that has truly transformed my life.
Great. God, that's a wonderful story. Lisa, thank you so much. And I'd like to swing back around. And I've heard many of your miracles, and I'm so blessed that you've shared those, and largely around a beautiful little four-year-old towhead granddaughter, and he'll never see grandma drunk, and that is so cool. And,
right.
And
I'm not grandma.
What's that?
Mr. Andrew, you got to be careful. I am not grandma.
Of course not.
I'm Nana.
Of course. I'd like to tie something in. You said we were talking about scripture, and I know Gus, I didn't get to know him well, but as a pastor and as a pastor's wife, you guys wrote thousands of homilies and thousands of sermons. And I know that there was one that Gus was experiencing while you were in your affair, your love affair with Jack. And it goes something like this, because Gus hung with you. And John 15:5 was a homily recently, a gospel of Sunday. And it goes like this, and many of you may know it. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can bear nothing. So, like my former spouse, she hung with me. She was tried to be my vine as Gus was. And by the grace of God, you recovered and came back. And you said on many occasions, the best life you ever had were the last years when you're in recovery with Gus, and that's just an amazing, amazing miracle. And I'd like to talk about that miracle, because Gus lived long enough, thank God, to meet this beautiful little girl. So tell us about her, Lisa, please.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting. I count my sobriety date in June each year. And when I decided that Jack Daniels was really not the friend I thought he was, and that I needed help from a power greater than myself, I turned to a program that has been very powerful and meaningful to me. And no one knew that I had found my way to seek out that support. Later that week was Gus's birthday, and we spent the weekend together. And it was during that birthday weekend where I shared with him that I was stepping into a plan of recovery, and he was filled with gratitude and encouragement, because he had been very, very worried that my life was turning in directions that were pretty scary.
Right.
But fast forward a few months.
Sure.
Story is about 4 months later, we had the great joy of our daughter and son-in-law telling us that they were expecting our first grandchild.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you ladies who are in the call today or on listening to the show today, you know how we calculate pregnancy. And so as they calculated back to determine when our daughter got pregnant, it was the same week that I was given the guidance by God to seek out sobriety.
Wow. Timing, right? Timing is everything.
And God's timing.
Yeah.
God's timing. And so by the grace of God, that little girl was born in the world. She's now four, mm-hmm. just had her fourth birthday, and has never seen her Nana with a drink in her hand. And by God's grace, and only God's grace, I pray that she will never. And so I do the work that I need to do to maintain this sobriety. And the other miracle, the other major miracle among many, as we know, is that this relationship with a power greater than I am, this spiritual abyss that I had fallen into with the absence of the presence of God, I was spiritually bereft. Today I can say that I have a renewed and empowered relationship with God that encompasses the moment I wake up until the moment I fall asleep. that my spiritual journey has grown and been enriched. It didn't happen overnight. I'll be absolutely
right.
It took some time.
Right.
And others saw in me what I didn't see in myself for a while.
Right.
But now I feel God's presence in my life every day. Early in my sobriety, I would call them God shots. My sponsor would encourage me to look for God experiences and God shots throughout the day.
Yeah.
And now they come to me without even looking.
Right.
And it is my instinct to say, oh, that's another God shot.
Right.
And gratitude, that's the other thing, is that I wake up every day and begin my day with gratitude about many ways that God is blessing my life.
Yeah, it's amazing. We'll swing back to gratitude in a minute, Lisa, but you are listening to Recovering God's Miracles here on Spirit-Filled Radio. Thank you for tuning in. So talking about gratitude, and Gus is, I know he had many boxes full of thousands of sermons. And I know, I wish I could have heard Gus preach on John 15:5 that we read a minute ago. Because I think, for me, I heard that homily four times over the weekend, and it really hit home to me that I think what Jesus was doing, it hit home so hard that I rewrote my whole question process today. But I think what Jesus was trying to do was appeal to the people of the times when 2,000 years ago, and he was appealing to people in recovery and all of us, generations forward where we are today. But there were like roughly four different kinds of people. One were the Jews who refused to hear the word then, but that's very much like the addict now who refuses to hear the word. And you and me and many, many other people lived in that world. What made some changes came down because we've known many people that stayed in that world, did not want to be bothered with their recovering and their families and their lives. And eventually they can only do three things. That's they can either recover or they will go to jail or die. And we know, both of us know many of them who have died. So those are the unprunables, because they never really asked God to prune their branches and vines so they could rebuild themselves and bear fruit. So they died. They withered and died. Then there's the Christians who hear the word and are connected, much like a person now that hears a word of recovery in his addiction, and they jump in with both feet and they realize that it's going to take some work. They've actually got to read books and they've actually got to go to meetings and help other people. And they go, well, maybe it's not time. I don't think it's quite the time for me. And they drift off, and oftentimes we hear of their pending funeral services, unfortunately. So that's two types of Christians and two types of addicts. And then there's a third one. The Christians who hear the word and accept God's call, like the addict, hear words of recovery, but they get in and they realize that it's pretty tough to do, and then the first temptation comes down the road, and it's like, you know, I don't think I can do this. This is way too tough. And they drift off. And it's very unfortunate because none of them choose to be pruned, and they aren't. However, there is a type of person, and you did say the numbers are very small, Lisa, and they are infinitesimally small, but some people hear the word, and it usually is followed by some type of a spiritual awakening in the form of a God shot or a lightning bolt, and that's the one that happened to me, the burning bush. And people that hear the word and work the program and bring it in full bore are the ones that have these incredible, wonderful experiences and miracles as they rebuild themselves back to the vine. So very fortunate, and we are blessed. The percentages are, since this is an anonymous, those are anonymous programs, the numbers are tough to come by, but we have a roughly 95, there's a 95% failure rate for people who get into recovery and make it, and they just never come around. So, Lisa, any other comments about the scripture from John 15:5 about the branches and the vines? Please share with us.
Well, you know, I think that's a lovely scripture, and, you know, I think the only thing that I would add to what you shared is that, in my case, Gus was not the vine. God was the vine, and I'm the branch. And so in every situation, leaning back into a God of my understanding and my Savior, Jesus Christ, that allowed me then to re-engage in the relationship with my husband and with my family and with my friends and colleagues in meaningful and purposeful ways. And I think one of the key ingredients to this experience for me was learning to be in a place of accepting life on life's terms. And I know we've talked about that, but it's that sense of accepting that everything is as it should be, and I'm going to be okay, right? That acceptance of how life is going, and that I'm not God, I'm not in charge. And quite honestly, I've come to appreciate that I'm not.
Right. It's easier that way.
Right. I mean, it used to be all about me. Mm-hmm. And now I can let it go. There's a colleague of mine in my circle that talks about let it go.
Right.
Just let it go.
Right.
Because in the past, I used to get resentful and carry a grudge. And so learning how to let it go, allowing for God's grace to be in the midst of everything I do, and God's love that surpasses everything. And as I stay connected to God as the vine, then my branch will be fruitful. And learning to look for God's guidance and direction in my life has been super important in the years of my sobriety, that I don't have to run the show. And in fact, when I run the show, it kind of gets mucked up a little bit.
I know what you mean.
So it's really better
right.
when I'm not trying to run the show.
That's right.
Right.
Let him. He knows what he's doing.
God
Thank
knows.
You. Thank
Absolutely.
God knows. Oh, we've heard that. Thank you, Lisa. So I insinuated that Gus was your vine and you were his branches. And, you know, I misspoke on that because, of course, Christ and only God is the vine. But sometimes we seem to have another vine or two along the way, and this is just my own concept from the gospel, that there's somebody who's that other vine who's trying to connect us back to Christ. And I know Gus was that in your life, but the bottom line is it is Christ. It's all about him, and it's all about God. So
absolutely, yeah. And I knew what you meant, but I did want to clarify.
Well,
That's all.
Thank you. And somebody told me, continue to take personal inventory when wrong, promptly admit it. So I wanted to clarify. So thank you for letting me apply the 10th step there. God bless you, Lisa. That's what, Mike, I told you you were going to love her. Didn't I tell you were going to love her? Of course you did. So, okay, there's another concept I want to walk by you and walk with you. And you mentioned gratitude, and you also mentioned acceptance. But I did some research of a prayer we say, many people say in their recovery, and it's the Serenity Prayer. And I took a little closer look at it and did some research and realized in 1943, an American theologian named Reinhold Niebuhr said the first prayer for the first time. And of course, it's God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So I heard that many times, but it never really made sense to me until Tom Allender, a priest we know, clarified it for me, and he said the prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I cannot change the past, I cannot change the truth, and I sure can't change anyone else, but I can forgive myself, and I can start telling the truth, and happiness is not recreating a better past. Happiness is recreating a better future. So the courage to change the things I can only change me, my thoughts, and my behaviors, and the wisdom to know the difference. So help us, you know, talk to us a little bit about your interpretation of the Serenity Prayer, Lisa, and how it has helped you and helps you on a daily basis for you to expand your gratitude, which is really what Jesus Christ is all about.
Amen to that. Well, the Serenity Prayer is foundational for me in my sobriety and in because it reframes my life. Right? God
right.
grant me. First
right.
of all, it's God. God. It affirms at its inception that God is in charge. God has the omnipotence and the presence to be above all, in all, and through all, right?
Right.
So first and foremost, it's God, not me. So that's the first thing. And I say this prayer many, 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 many times every single day, depending
right.
on how good or bad it's going.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's important for the listeners to recognize also that although I am a sober woman today, life doesn't necessarily go perfectly. You know, I've learned to walk through life's difficulties and challenges with God's protection and care. Mm-hmm. God never promised that hard, difficult, challenging things would all go away. You know, I've experienced right. the death of my husband. You know, you were there.
Right.
But when I start with the serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. And as you've already very clearly said it, the only thing I can change is within me and how I view the world and how I respond to it. And so often I got myself all tied up because I was attempting to be engaged in the process of changing others.
Right.
And that will never, ever work. And so it focuses my efforts and my emotional energies right where they belong, because I am the problem. I'm right. the one that's creating a problem for myself right. and others. And so the courage to change the things I can, again, providing me the ability to recognize when I have an opportunity to bring a different self to a situation.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things in the program that I am working is that, you know, if you're having conflict with someone else, pray for that person every
right.
day,
right.
whether you want to or don't, right?
Right?
It doesn't say pray if you want to. No.
Right.
Whether I really feel or mean it, right?
Right.
It's still the discipline and practice. And in my faith journey, I talk often about spiritual disciplines that we are invited to engage in, the spiritual discipline of Bible study and prayer and meditation and corporate worship and confession and all those various things that are a part of my Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true here. So praying for someone with whom I have a difficult relationship. And because the whole goal is it's not about changing others, is it? As
right.
we know,
no.
it's about changing
right.
us.
Right.
It's changing how I see the world.
Right.
And so without the serenity prayer, I'm not sure how I would have navigated those, especially those early, early days as I began. And, you know, here's the thing. I haven't shared this yet, but I went to one meeting, and for 20 years before that one meeting, I said every day, I want to stop drinking. I'm drinking too much. After that one meeting, I didn't drink that night, and I was compelled to go back. And so the fact that God was there, ready, waiting, willing, and able to change my heart. Not everybody has that kind of a story. I totally understand that. And
right.
each of us,
yeah.
our own journey, our own path to both our addiction and our recovery and sobriety. But for me, it was a very powerful transition. And by the grace of God, to this day, years later, I still have not had that first drink. Because like you said at the beginning of the show, one drink is too many, and 1,000 drinks is not enough, right?
And we don't have any plans at lunch to have one today so far. I know you and Mike and I don't. Yeah, I didn't think so.
Absolutely.
So yeah, thank God, Lisa, thank you so much for sharing. And there's a second part of the Serenity Prayer I'll share with you when we get together again, but which I'd never seen before. And it was really interesting. But
the long version?
It's the rest of the long version, living one day at a time,
yeah.
which shows how to do the things that I can do. So change the things that I can change. So we'll talk about that. But we got a couple minutes here, and I'd like you to just go back. And I could talk to you forever. You know how that goes when we meet for tacos. But just
radio shows have a limit, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, but. Lisa, thank you so much. I'm so proud of you, and I love you, you know, so much. And I remember when you came, the first time I saw you in recovery, the Bible school teacher, and look where you are today. And you could write new gospel verses. You've come so far. But thank you so much. And I'm so honored that you would join us on our first month of Recovering God's Miracles here on Spirit-Filled Radio. And we've got a lot to talk about when I get back. And I just am thankful to God that we have had such a wonderful sobriety together. And just in a closing prayer, if I might, I just want to say thank you, Lord, higher power, for the wonderful people in our lives, for the miracles, for the gratitude, for the family we've regained, for the children and grandchildren and the nanas that we have in our lives. Lord, I just praise you and thank you for that. And for my friend Lisa and Brian, and we wish them totally the best, and I wouldn't miss it for the world, you know that, and best to Brian, and we will see you soon, okay?
You bet.
Probably
now
tomorrow. Probably tomorrow.
Tacos.
Well, you bet. This week, okay? So thank you, Lisa. God bless you, my friend, and love you, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Listening to Recovering God's Miracles on Spirit-Filled Radio. For more resources, come find us at spiritfilledmedia.org. That's spiritfilledmedia.org.
If you're enjoying these podcasts, please consider supporting Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry with a one-time or monthly gift. Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are only funded by generous donors who believe in our mission to evangelize.